Good to be with you on this Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. It's a mess out there. That's the only way to say it. There's so many things going on that you look at and say, look, it all kind of hits at once, right? Israel's a mess. The Gaza Strip, a mess. You know, all of that needs to be discussed, where we're going with it. We've got a governor out there running for president who has to give $20 gift cards out for every dollar given in just to make a debate, which I can understand it in the beginning, but by now people should know who he is. That's a mess. We need to talk about that. But all of this, all of these things going on in the world, I mean, think about this. All of these things going on in the world, and the United States of America doesn't have a Speaker of the House. I mean, we don't. It isn't like somebody passed away, folks. I mean, it isn't. It isn't like we're in a lame duck session here where we would have one anyway, but we'd be lame duck. No, we just don't have one. Deirdre Walsh is a congressional correspondent with NPR's Washington desk, and she's good enough to give us some of her time. Deirdre, good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel.
I want to talk a little bit about, you know, where we're at. I know you'd worked at CNN, now you're with NPR, so you've got a lot of people in your contact list. I get that. But are we close at all to having a Speaker of the House? What are you hearing?
I don't think we are. I mean, House Republicans are really struggling today. Speaker designee Scalise was nominated by House Republicans yesterday. But since then, the list of House Republicans who don't feel ready to support him appears to be growing. He got 113 votes internally to Jim Jordan's 99 votes. He's going to need 217 votes on the House floor when they bring it up on the House floor. And he seems like he's got a long way to go. I was outside his office last night after the vote when he was meeting one-on-one with some of these holdouts. But I think the big problem for Scalise is all of these different people have different demands. Some people are upset about the rules. Some people are upset about his operation, pushing back at an effort to change an internal conference rule. Some people have concerns about his health. Scalise right now is battling multiple myeloma, a form of blood cancer. He says he's doing fine and he's up to the job. But some of his opponents are actually using his health as an issue for why they aren't ready to vote for him. So we'll see as the day plays out. You know, over time, things can change fast in the House of Representatives. House Republicans are going to huddle midday today. But right now, there's no plan to schedule a floor vote to elect a new speaker.
So when I was thinking about this on the drive in today, Deirdre, I kept thinking about if anyone could reach that threshold without Democratic votes. If anyone of the Republican caucus, as small as what it is, even one less now, and another one finding out that he's under further indictment. I mean, with all of the things going on in the caucus, as narrow as what it is, I'm wondering whether anyone can win the speaker's race without giving away their house, their car, their dog, and their lake home.
Yeah, I think that's a valid question. I think a lot of House Republicans are asking themselves that, too. I mean, a lot of former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's allies are saying, you know, we didn't have to do this. We had a guy who got the votes on the floor, if not for this small band of conservatives, many of whom had sort of personal gripes with McCarthy, we wouldn't be in this situation. But you're right. I think that once that, you know, very public fight happened, it sort of unleashed more people deciding they want to sort of go to the mat on the issues they think are important. And now they have this sort of very public fight with a lot of reporters running around the Capitol talking to them. It's sort of giving them more of a platform to sort of showcase the divisions inside the House Republican Party. A lot of House Republicans are just really worried, too, about how bad this looks for the party. I mean, it looks like they can't govern. I think, as you noted at the top, like the House can't do anything. It can't vote on anything. There is a resolution sponsored by 400 House members, bipartisan resolution to support Israel as it is under attack, came under this surprise attack from Hamas. But that even can't get a vote. I mean, that would pass easily. It's non-binding, but it's an important message to send to an ally. And I think that is upsetting a lot of members right now, too.
You know, there was talk actually at one point of Donald Trump, knowing that it does not have to be a member of the House to be Speaker of the House. There was talk that Donald Trump might in the end end up being Speaker of the House. Instead, he puts his support behind Jim Jordan. Are any of the people that you're talking to that are supporting Scalise in fear of what we all know is the Trump factor, where if he doesn't get his way, he's going to make their life hell? I mean, are any of those people responding to any of that?
I mean, I think a lot of them were glad it was a secret ballot election because it allows people to vote for Scalise without going out there on the record. There is a fear that Trump would lash out against people who opposed his preferred candidate, Jim Jordan. But I think it's really interesting that his endorsement in this race wasn't a huge factor. I mean, a lot of these leadership races, and as you noted, I've covered Congress for a long time. I've covered a bunch of them. They really come down to personal relationships. Mm-hmm. Scalise has a lot. I mean, he's been in leadership for almost 10 years. He knows a lot of the members. He's campaigned for a lot of them. He's raised money for a lot of them. He's played baseball on a team with fellow House Republicans against Democrats. It's sort of given him some relationships across the aisle, too. So I think, you know, in this case, Trump's endorsement wasn't a huge factor. But I think going forward, whether Trump decides to weigh in now that we're in this sort of like limbo where we don't know if Scalise can get the votes, could be a big factor. I mean, one of his supporters, Congressman Niels, was out there yesterday saying, you know, he's the only guy who could unite the party. He was sort of floating his name again, I think more just to prove that, you know, the party is united behind, you know, one figure, even if they can't unite behind a speaker. But Trump has made it clear he's focused on running for president, but I do think he could have influence in this period right now. And I think Scalise's team, I think, has been somewhat relieved he hasn't been weighing in, but who knows what he'll do.
So when you look at this, because, you know, everybody puts a face behind it with Matt Gaetz, when we all know that there's, what, eight or so in the gang of, I have a different name for them, so I won't use it. But for those individuals, they keep pushing this to the point where, in many cases, their caucus members don't want to even talk to them anymore. I've had Kelly Armstrong on recently. I've had Dusty Johnson on recently. I had former Congressman Colin Peterson on recently just to get his feel of what he hears, because he stays in touch with both sides. They hate this caucus. They hate this freedom or whatever caucus they call themselves. They're tired of it. They're not going to come out that strong on air, but no matter who they get as leader, if the rules are dictated by this handful of people, I don't think they can govern anyway. Or is there any talk about that in the hallway?
They aren't actually talking about changing that rule, the rule that was used to oust McCarthy. You still only would need one lawmaker to go to the floor and file a resolution to vacate the speaker's office. So that could happen. Even if Scalise pulls this out and does get the votes on the floor, you know, you're right. Someone else could come up, could decide they're unhappy with what he's doing and oust him too. I think that the eight folks who did vote against McCarthy are feeling the blowback from their colleagues. Some of them, I think, decided to get behind Scalise pretty quickly yesterday, including Matt Gaetz, who's been sort of the most high profile critic of McCarthy's. Clearly, they had a personal beef, and he basically said, you know, long live Speaker Scalise after the meeting yesterday, and said he would vote for him on the floor. Some of the other folks in that group also followed suit, but not all eight. So it's unclear, and I do think that we're entering this period where the House Republican Conference is just really at war with itself. And I think a lot of it is, you know, sort of where the Republican Party is, right? I mean, a lot of these members aren't so much focused on sort of the principles of the traditional House Republican Conference that I've covered in the years past in terms of shrinking the size of government, controlling federal spending. It's more about sort of personalities and an allegiance to Donald Trump right now.
So everybody lost in all of this. Since all of this began, a war has broken out with one of our strongest allies in a country that we've had to and will defend right down to our last core. So a war's broken out in Israel. We've kicked the can down the road when it comes to the budget. All we did was buy 45 days, which now, Deirdre, you probably know how many days are left. I can't tell you, but nobody's working on it.
I don't know what day it is right now, but I think it's definitely less than 40, 30-something.
I don't know who's working. And that's kind of my point in all this because, you know, before that, McCarthy got in trouble for buying 45 days. And now with those 45 days, nothing's happening. And, you know, and if they think that they're going to be able to spend this, that it's the Senate's fault, either party in the Senate's fault or the minority party in the House, I think they're dreaming. I think that this is going to fall directly on their shoulders. And there must be some conversations about, you know, the actual work that needs to get done.
There have been conversations about that. Even before the House Republicans got together to meet, there were discussions by both candidates, Scalise and Jim Jordan, about what they would do to address and avoid a government shutdown. I mean, most House Republicans have been very open. They do not want a government shutdown. They know it would be bad for them. They have this slim majority. They want to keep it in the election in 2024. Both Jordan and Scalise have said they would continue to try to pass sort of the House Republican spending bills, but they admitted that there's going to need to be another short-term spending bill in November, maybe something to get them into early next year. So I think there's a recognition that they're going to have to pass something. Now, you know, we'll see what happens and what kind of blowback whoever ends up being speaker gets, because that inevitably means they're going to have to work with Democrats to pass that. And that's what got McCarthy ousted.
Yeah. I will also say this. The pressure, if you look at Hakeem and some of what's happening there, they've done a pretty good job of not accepting any responsibility on this. And it between Steny Hoyer, when you mentioned Steve Scalise, I think of Steny Hoyer. You know, he's like that member of their caucus. But when you talk to the left, or you get the impression of where the left's at, it's just like, look, there's a mud fight going on there, and we're not getting into it. And I don't see them coming in on some white horse to save the day on this.
No, I don't either. I do think before the vote for McCarthy, there was a small window where there was a small group of House moderate Democrats that were talking to moderate Republicans about possibly saving McCarthy. It wouldn't be a huge number, but I think a lot of them wanted to extract some concessions in terms of not shutting down the government, maybe shutting down the impeachment inquiry, putting forward legislation to support Ukraine on the floor. But those talks actually never got off the ground. McCarthy just decided not to talk to the group, and then he alienated them and pretty much every other House Democrat when he did a Sunday morning interview after, you know, more than 200 Democrats voted with Republicans to pass a short-term bill, and McCarthy sort of suggested that they really wanted a shutdown, and it was Republicans that got them out of the jam. That really, really annoyed House Democrats to the point where they were like, we can't trust this guy. We're never going to work with him. We're never going to save him. I mean, I think that poisoned the well, and I can't see them coming around to helping another candidate. You know, some of them may like Steve Scalise, but he's very conservative, and I don't think any of them have any indications that he would sort of walk over and work with them on many issues.
And there still are some swing districts. I mean, there are. The Republicans took the House because of those swing districts in New York and in some other areas where this isn't going to reflect well on the reelection of some of those freshman members. So I get that. Deirdre, I have a favor to ask. I know you're good friends with Judy Woodruff. You had worked together before. She came during one of Heidi's races to Rutland, North Dakota, home of the world's largest hamburger. She'll remember it. She'll remember it when you talk to her.
I bet she will.
Yeah, you tell her thank you for that, okay?
I will. I talk to her a lot.
She's been
my mentor and friend.
Keep doing what you're doing because we need it. Just keep reporting it straight up. I mean, when you're gone or when you're off here, I'll do the speculating. I'll do that. But keep giving us good journalism, okay?
It was great to be with you, Joel.
You bet. Deirdre Walsh, ladies and gentlemen, keep checking out her work on NPR's Washington Desk. She's a congressional correspondent.